Nominees for the post of Attorney General may have a few stumbles during their confirmation hearings, but essayist Nick Gillespie says that's nothing compared to the blunders many of them make once they get into office.
The official job description of the Attorney General of the United States is that he or she is the nation's top cop, its highest law enforcement officer, overseeing the Department of Justice, the FBI, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, and much, much more. While that technically may be correct, traditionally the Attorney General has always served a much more important political function, acting as a reliable source of embarrassment and scandal for the president. Take the outgoing Attorney General John Ashcroft, who was mortifying on a regular basis. Consider the grimace-inducing grandstanding he pulled off by famously equating dissent with treason after the 9/11 attacks, wanting to clothe naked statues in the Department of Justice briefing room, and perhaps most disturbingly, singing in a barbershop quartet while serving as a United States Senator. But don't get the idea that this is just a Republican problem. Between Waco, the Elian Gonzalez case, and prosecuting medical marijuana users in California, Janet Reno showed that she could keep up with Bill Clinton himself when it came to dubious decision-making. On the plus side, she inspired one of the most memorable bits on Saturday Night Live, the wickedly funny Janet Reno's dance party. To their credit, recent attorneys general are following in a grand tradition. Ronald Reagan's second attorney general, Ed Meese, spent a suspiciously large chunk of his time compiling a nearly 2,000-page report on pornography that was even more of a late-night read in its day than the Star Report was. Remember John Mitchell, Richard Nixon's AG? Charged with enforcing the law of the land, he broke it instead. He ended up serving 2.5 years in the federal pokey for conspiracy, obstruction of justice, and perjury for his role in the Watergate break-in and cover-up. Then there was Ramsey Clark, Lyndon Johnson's man, who went from prosecuting Dr. Benjamin Spock for encouraging draft dodging to becoming an unrelenting and harsh critic of the Vietnam War. Now he spends his days defending the likes of Slobodan Milosevic and Saddam Hussein. When Bobby Kennedy was named Attorney General, his main qualification for the post, besides brotherly love, was having served as aide to that great defender of the Constitution, Senator Joe McCarthy. You get the idea. Maybe the die was cast at the very founding of the country. After all, the very first Attorney General came to something of a sticky end. Edmund Randolph served 5 years in the post before becoming Secretary of State in 1794. A year later, he was forced to resign amid rumors that he was partial to bribery. Alberto Gonzalez will surely not meet that fate, but ironically, with every faux pas he commits in his confirmation hearings, he's proving himself the right man for the job.
Nick Gillespie is the editor-in-chief of Reason Magazine. It's a libertarian political journal.